could sing in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 6 and go down through verse 9. We're going to be dealing with the subject tonight of beware. Beware. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, but we're going to be spending the bulk of our time in verse 8. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. I just ask you to meet with us. And as we conclude this Lord's Day and this evening service, I just ask you to meet with us. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look a little bit at verse 7, but the bulk of our time will be in verse 8. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We're going to look just a minute at rooted and built up. Rooted means having its roots planted or fixed in the earth, hence fixed deep. Now, we know that the hymn of this verse is Christ, and that we are to be rooted in Christ and built up in Christ. So the word rooted is vital in context. This is the saved, those who have been grafted into Christ, those whose roots are in Christ. And I remind you that we believe in the doctrine of eternal security. Once you are rooted in Christ, you can never become unrooted in terms of your salvation. But your construction is a completely different thing. Notice the word rooted is ahead of the word built up. The first step is to be rooted in Christ. One cannot be built up unless they have first been rooted in Christ. The word built means framed and raised, constructed. If you want your life to be built, if you want your life to be constructed, if you want it to be put together, you must have the right foundation, and that foundation must be Christ. So you surrender to become rooted, salvation. You surrender to become built up, sanctification. But tonight, to a saved crowd, we're going to look at being built up in Christ and some dangers that are associated with the process. When I worked construction, I worked with a sheetrock company. I also worked for a vinyl siding company. I'd done some painting also. But one of the things that surprised me at these new builds is how many thieves would target the construction sites. Now, thieves don't care if your house is finished on time or not. That's not why they steal. They want to sell what they've stolen. It's indirectly personal. But what makes the devil so much more evil is that the devil seeks to interfere with you personally, your construction. Once Christ begins to build you up, the devil's going to show up with a whole host of things, but we're looking at four of them here tonight. But again, it's not limited to these. But we see in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware is defined as to restrain or guard oneself from, hence to regard with caution, to restrain oneself from anything that may be dangerous, injurious, or improper. to avoid, to take care, followed by, of, before the thing that is to be avoided. When we see the word any, also in our verse, any is all encompassing. Beware lest any man, I don't care what friend or what family member, and I put myself out there too. It don't matter if it's your preacher. It don't matter if it's your pastor. It don't matter if it's an evangelist coming through or a missionary. It don't matter, again, who it is in your family. Beware lest any man spoil you. So the goal is to avoid being spoiled. Three of these things that we'll mention tonight in and of itself are not entirely bad. That's what makes them dangerous. When you have to sift the good from the bad, it all depends on your recognition of what is good and bad. It all depends on your discernment and wisdom to avoid consuming what is bad. You see, I don't go down the alcohol aisle sifting good from bad because it's all bad. I don't go through my Bible sifting good from bad because it's all good. So we have to pay more attention when good and evil are together. So again, these things are not all bad, but also not all good. Philosophy is to be a lover of wisdom. Traditions of man, that's not all bad. Rudiments of this world is not all bad. It essentially means the teachings of this world. So we are to beware to avoid being spoiled. The word spoil means to ruin, to destroy. It gives an analogy here. Our crops are sometimes spoiled by insects. But then we see a little bit further. It says to render useless by injury, as to spoil paper by wetting it. It's a powerful definition here, followed by an example. When a piece of paper becomes wet, it becomes soiled, its usefulness is gone. It's no longer useful. You try and use a wet piece of paper at some point to write on it, or you try and feed it through the printer, it ain't going to work. It's lost its usefulness. It's become spoiled. And when you become spoiled, you do not lose your salvation, but you lose your usefulness for God. And we'll spend the bulk of our time this evening on the ways that we are to beware unless we become spoiled. We're going to look firstly at philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy, it's a general term denoting an explanation of the reasons of things or an investigation of the causes of all the phenomena, both of mind and of matter. So philosophy is essentially the reasoning. It is the interpretation of data. So you've investigated and you've came to a determination through reading, study, research of materials, and you've came to a conclusion based off it. Now, to illustrate, I know preachers that are King James, believe just as I do, most of the essential doctrines that I have, but I may not like their philosophy. That's their way of thinking. It could be their interpretation of data, either through what they see, hear, do, or read. Have you ever been with somebody and you both are looking at the same thing, but you leave with different conclusions? You've arrived at completely different, got the right book, word for word, it's all right. But you walked away with something different. Sometimes that's where philosophy gets in the way and it can mess you up. But there are those that I just disagree with them. When it becomes over enough things, it can cause a break in fellowship. When you're constantly with someone and you're walking the same path and one says left and you say right, and it happens enough, eventually you realize that, you know what? Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Eventually your feet communicates what your heart's been telling you all along, because you're on different pages. You don't mesh philosophically. Now, bear in mind that you can be spoiled through philosophy. If someone has bad philosophy, then be careful. You could be indoctrinated by it. Philosophy can spoil you. It'd not be here if there wasn't any danger to philosophy. Be careful spending time with those who are philosophically variant on doctrinal issues. Be careful spending time with those who are philosophically different on the carrying out of our faith, which means how we live out our faith. That means the way our faith is to be practiced. People say the only reason to leave a church is over doctrine. Well, if the train they're on is departing doctrine and they're set on it, even though they haven't just yet, I jump. If they have the right doctrine but are looking like the world, acting like the world to reach the world while spoiling the saints in their midst, which is what Spurgeon called entertaining goats, then I'm out. When church is filled with more lost people than saved people, you got more hell in one place than you got heaven. And there's no spirit worse than the one in hell right now and the one that is loose roaming the earth right now. And that spirit has no place in a place that calls itself a church. I would not be spoiled in a church that has a bad spirit. Be careful spending too much time with people who do things that you don't want to do or don't believe is right to do, or do things you believe, again, you should not do, or things that you don't feel led to do. On this note, I don't spend much time even with preachers that I think are headed in a direction away from sound doctrine. You know what one of the first things people do is they know what they're doing, they know the direction that they're going in, and they immediately start justifying it. And they share their justifications for what they're doing with you. It's one of the first things they do. They know you're different. They know they're going in a different direction than you. They know you're going in different ways. And they'll sit down, they'll start talking to you. Here's what we're doing in our church, and here's why. Don't sit around. I don't want their direction rubbing off on me. If their steps lead away from where I'm going, I ain't walking with them. Be careful. It's meaning beware. Look out and resist bad philosophy because it will spoil you. And there's a lot of it out there. It used to just about just be on TV, and then internet came along. And I about assure you, internet, there's more people on internet than the TV, I think, now. It used to be somewhat limited, I think, when it came to the TV. But internet, see, back in the day, you had to be home watching TV. You couldn't get on, there was no internet for you to get on at work. People got their phones everywhere. I hear there are people in the restroom on their phones. People everywhere with their phones. It's like there's some places you shouldn't bring your conversation to. You should want to talk to somebody in there, and maybe somebody else is in the restroom that don't want to hear you talking in there. I mean, but back in the day, if you were going to have that influence in your life, you had to be at home behind the TV with the remote on. And now we are literally influenced. From the time we get up to the time we go to bed, we are influenced. There is philosophy everywhere. Everywhere there's philosophy. Now, again, not all of it's bad. There's some good philosophy out there, but you got to be careful because it can spoil you, which means to ruin, to destroy. And again, it hinders your usefulness for God. Part of philosophy's definition is to be a lover of wisdom. Again, not all wisdom is bad. I don't believe these things. Nobody get upset with me today. I don't believe these things, but I do open the cookie at the Chinese restaurant. I don't believe them. I do not believe them. I don't believe they're right. But every once in a while, there is something in there that is a Chinese proverb, and it does line up with the Bible. So in that case, you know what? It's right. So when do I reject a Chinese proverb? Not that I go out in search of Chinese proverbs. I don't Google them. There's a million Chinese proverbs. I don't go read them. I don't. But if I come across a Chinese proverb and it's right, it's good wisdom, how do I know that? Because I compare it to the Bible. Then you say, oh man, well that's true. That's true. But if it don't, it goes against the Bible, and most of them do. All kinds of bad religions come out of China. Amen. All kinds of them. Just darkness comes out of there. So most of them, no, you can't buy it. Most of them, you can't believe it. You say, no, that's bad philosophy. You got to reject it. But you see, God's wisdom is all good. And the world's wisdom is only good if it aligns with God. There's wisdom to get when buying a car, when buying a house or marriage or child rearing. There's wisdom from those that have been there and done that. And then obviously there's bad philosophy even about all those things too. And we got to be careful about that too. Be careful with your philosophy. It can ruin you. And the next way we can be spoiled, and again, by definition, a spoil is to ruin, to destroy, to render useless, is vain deceit. It's the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. The act or practice of deceiving. Deception, achieving one's goals through a web of deceit. Now, if you don't think this is real, you can turn your TV on Sunday. You can even go online and see all the blood-sucking vultures that are out to steal the faith of the saints. They're spewing lies. They are manipulating people. They're selling things they don't possess. They cannot promise people anything outside of God's word, but they do. They promise they can speak in tongues, and you can too, and it'll be of God. And they promise that they can heal people, and they can't. They sell you stuff. They will try and promise you stuff that they cannot come through on. And people pay them good money for it. And I tell you, sometimes this is rubbing people the wrong way. For all the young people stuck in liberal churches, you could probably match them with the older people sitting at home paying these wicked TV preachers by viewing them, following the Benny Hinns of the world. I could go on and on there. It's sad. But we see it is deception. They're deceiving people. They have goals that they've set for themselves, not a vision from God. Now, this is important, especially as a leader, as a pastor, that the people understand the vision for the church. You see, if the people understand the vision of the church and they can get behind the vision of the church, then they know when something's contrary to the vision of the church. Just be honest with the people. Here's what the vision. Here's what things look like. Here's the plan. We'll go into that some in the future also. I believe we're to begin with God. And as we can, we move out to the different areas of the community and reach people. But we can't do that till the Lord helps us. We want to see souls saved. We want to see lives changed. We want to see reconciliation take place between God and man. We want to see sinners converted. We want people to be no more enemies with God, but friends with God. We want them to get baptized, join our church so we can grow together. That's the main vision, the main one. And I've not been deceitful about that. No need to be. Preachers get sneaky and deceitful and slimy when they're trying to hide something. Have no need for deceit. What I preach is right here. And for those who know the duty of the local church, we must be willing to fulfill that duty. But not out of duty, but as a result of our love for Jesus Christ. Amen. And for people. There are many out there that have set goals for themselves. And they deceived the people and used the people as pawns to promote their agenda. Be careful that your usefulness is not spoiled through vain deceit. The next that you can be spoiled in says, after the tradition of men. Tradition means, and then I'll summarize after, the delivery of opinions, doctrines, practices, rites, and customs from father to son or from ancestors to posterity, the transmission of any opinions or practice from forefathers to descendants. So traditions, somewhat neutral. They can be good. Traditions can be bad. They can be true. They can also be false. So basically, traditions are passed down, and again, they can be good or bad. Traditions can be in a family sense. They can also be in a church sense. They can also be in a spiritual sense, and we're looking tonight at a spiritual sense and the church sense. We have forefathers in the faith. We could go all the way back to the Word of God, to our forefathers in the faith. We can think back to our to the independent Baptist circle. There are many forefathers in the faith, and we would all agree that as the local church, we are to go out, reach souls, baptize them, add them to the church, disciple them, and every independent fundamental Baptist church should believe on that. However, where the traditions of men come into play is how we are to go about this, which is in large part up for debate. Different things work for different places. We have to be careful that we do not hinder our usefulness over the traditions of man. Now, I'll be honest with you. Pastoring down here is different than what I was accustomed to, pastoring up north. Us, a little bit different. Culture is a little bit different. People is a little bit different. I think it's good to learn a culture, to learn the people in the community in some ways before you go out and bring a culture that they're not accustomed to. I'm not saying the Lord don't know how to go around that kind of stuff. But it is something that's important. But we got to be careful that we don't hinder our usefulness over the traditions of man. There are churches that have died because they wouldn't change. And I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm not talking about the hymns. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about they wouldn't change. They wouldn't adapt. I've heard a preacher say also that they destroyed a church trying to recreate what they had in Bible college. Got to be careful. Not every church will fit in every city. Things have been passed down, some good, some are not. Just don't allow your usefulness to God to be hindered or ruined by the traditions of man. You have to set your eyes on Christ, and He works through your God-ordained and appointed authorities. And don't worry about a movement or what this church down the road is or isn't doing. We've got to keep the focus on Christ. And I had to learn that. I had to learn that as a young pastor. Because there's something about being a young pastor that invites the unsolicited counsel of a whole host of other pastors. Do it this way. No, do it that way. You got it all wrong. You got it all backwards. No, do it like this. But you know what? I had to die to that. I had to die to it. I'm not saying none of it was helpful. A lot of it was. Some of it was a better idea, better angle. And then others was just, they're just stuck in their own camp. Can't see their way out of it. That there's a whole world outside of their little bubble. Sometimes I just had to reject it. And there are times where I'm kind of somebody, I was just having a conversation earlier today. I'm independent Baptist, but I'm not in no circle. I'm not in no camp. I got 3 degrees and I ain't in the camp from either 3 that I got them from. Not in the camp. You know what you got to do in some of those camps? You got to surrender your independence to be accepted. To be accepted, you got to look the way they want you to look. To be accepted, you got to check their boxes. You got to do things the way they'd have you to do it. If you do it, then they'll have you in to preach. I don't want to preach if you're going to be trying to pull my strings. I ain't got strings for you to pull. You'd have to have strings first. It's not the way it goes. We can't surrender our independence. And I tell you what, I couldn't imagine, for one, being a person, being a congregant in a church, that I knew my pastor's strings were being pulled by another man instead of Christ. Now, on to the last verse, that we can be spoiled. Sin robs us of our usefulness for God. Again, sold means to ruin, to destroy, to render useless by injury. But there are thousands of ways that we could be spoiled. The devil ensures it. But notice this one: after the rudiments of this world. Rudiment, it denotes what is taught. The world's defined as mankind, just people in general. So it could be said that the things that the world teaches you can spoil you. So anywhere where the world is holding some type of class on something, you could be spoiled there. This should go without saying, you cannot learn too much from the world to benefit you spiritually. But you can learn a whole lot from the world that can help you physically. Here's the thing. If you grow up so much physically, you'll surpass your spiritual depth, making you spiritually carnal while intellectually savvy. I'd rather not know as much intellectually and have some spiritual depth. Many have used this verse and the rudiments of the world to give footing for not sending your children into the world for education. Many Christians have sent their children to public school and came out just fine. Sarah and all her brothers and sisters did, but you have to account for the fact that they may not. As many have also came out confused on God. It's just saying, beware. Beware, something to consider. The school system's different now. There was a time when they might not have allowed certain things in schools. Now they're all out telling your kids that God is a lie. In many of the public schools. And the problems at times, and I'm not talking about necessarily in our churches, but the problems at times with kids is they spend 40 hours a week at school, 20 or so at home throughout the week. By the time school lets out and they get home, 4 hours or so till they get to bed, times 5 days a week. Who has their ear the most? You got to be careful. That's all Scripture's saying, just beware. Scripture says, beware lest any man spoil you. Beware is defined as literally to restrain or guard oneself from. Hence, to regard with caution. To restrain oneself from anything that may be dangerous, injurious, or improper. To avoid, to take care, followed by or before the thing that is to be avoided. So beware of these things. Philosophy, again, not all of it bad. Not all of it good. Vain deceit. You got to beware of that. And we live in a day as it's getting more and more evil and wicked and vile. You got to be on the lookout for vain deceit. Who's trying to use you? Who has an angle? You got to be on the lookout. And I tell you what, and especially when you're in leadership, that's something I think about all the time. I'm probably more paranoid than probably most of you in here because of the position that I'm in. And I have to be to some degree. I have to be on alert. I have to be paying attention. I could tell you some of my thought processes and things, but we would get sidetracked. But I promise you, I'm very alert. I'm very vigilant. I'm not asleep when I'm in church. Why? Because God has entrusted the flock to me. So I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. I have to help care for them. I have to know where they are spiritually in order to be able to help them spiritually. I gotta be able to identify threats quick. Do you think about the tradition of men? We gotta be careful with that too. Do it this way. Why? Just cause. No, that's not enough. It's not enough for me. It's not. And there will be people that will do that. Do it this way. Why? It's always been done that way. No, that's not enough. Some things that used to be good that you can't find in the Bible that used to be okay, it's not anymore if it's not in the Bible. Some things, it just depends on the time. It depends on the generation. It depends on all those things. Generations change. I think the Lord knows that, and that's why he brings in young preachers for newer generations. And older preachers recognize it and they step out of the way and they allow the younger preacher. Brother Mark Thrift just gave an illustration about that. He said he would be able to communicate better with the younger generation. And listen, at some point I'm going to reach the age where I'm going to think. I'm going to reach the age one day where I'm going to think my way and the way I've been doing it the last 30 years to be the way to do it. I'm not saying that I'm going to be anything different than anybody else down the road. I'm not saying that. And the time's going to come that the dinosaur is going to have to step out of the way and let somebody else come in. Sometimes we got all this fighting between the old school and the new school. When we stand on the same book, we stand on the same doctrine. Why are we fighting over silly stuff? Why we can't get along over silly stuff? It's goofy. Goofy. Sometimes we spend so much time fighting each other, we're not fighting the devil. We wound a brother and sister in Christ and we're like, oh, I'm fighting, I'm standing. You're fighting the wrong one. And if you don't understand that, I can't help you. The rudiments of the world, it can spoil you. And again, spoiled means to ruin, to destroy, to render useless by injury, as the spoiled paper by wetting it. So remember now, Colossians is written to Christians, which means you can be spoiled. You and I can be spoiled. I'll be spoiled. Your children can be spoiled by any of the above, and we must beware. Many of Christians have been spoiled through these things. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time.